Hello and welcome to this episode of the Corporate Escapist TV show and podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Innes. I am very delighted to have this very beautiful human being, Bronwyn, joining me. Welcome, lovely. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm excited and I want to say congratulations because you're in our latest book and you are now a number one international Amazon bestseller. I have to get that right sometimes.
Yeah, I know it's really exciting. And it's I'm gonna say it's a great credit to you and all the other ladies that were part of the experience. The book is I'm gonna it's a tool, but it's also an inspiring stories, but there's great tools and tips in there. So I think it's a really unique blend that serves anyone that's kind of looking for inspiration, but also practical ways to kind of help them through
Yeah,
situations.
absolutely, absolutely. So I before I dive in, because I can get carried away, I would love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners today, and then we're going to dive into some really amazing topics.
All right. So my name is Bronwyn Jain, and I'm a psychic medium and a spiritual coach. So I teach in within the spiritual industry. So I talk to dead people. That's what I do. They're fun. So that's what I do. And I also facilitate training predominantly online to be able to share my skills so people can translate the energy that's around us. So in that psychic space, so it's the energy around us, but also so I can make myself obsolete and people know how to communicate with those that are in spirit, because I am all about making myself obsolete. Also a mum, and all the other labels that we put on ourselves.
Oh my
That's
goodness.
who I am.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. And I love the fact that, I mean, so many people like with energy, I think is actually a big word this year, and people are using it not just in like life, but they're using it in business too. And do you find now that there's a lot more business owners that are starting to understand energy, but also trying to help, I guess, heal some of the things that have been happening in their life as well?
Yeah, I think it's exciting that more people are leaning in, and I'm going to say expanding their awareness and not thinking of it as woo-woo and actually understanding that it is science. There's a biology aspect to it and the quantum science. So it's not woo-woo at all. It's just not. And we're taking it out of that space so we can then apply it to our everyday life, so we can make better decisions, whether it be for work, family, doesn't really matter where it is. And when we do that, life becomes easier. As I say to all my clients, if you listen to this, if this is part of your decision-making process, life is going to be slower, it's going to be harder, you're going to make more mistakes. But if you actually listen to your heart and your gut, those two things on a biological level, they work together and they also push energy out. If that helps you make decisions, because there's a whole lot of science behind the receptors and the neurons and all the things that kind of happen, so all those things, you will make better decisions. Life will be faster. And it feels with more ease too. You get into flow. So if you're in business, right, this has its place, but not in all your decision-making abilities, right? It can do the prelim work for sure, but then the actual decision needs to be done by the energy that comes out of you in your intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I heard a few years ago that the gut is actually our third brain.
100%.
And I was blown away by that because I think as women, we have such a natural instinct that sort of got pushed down for so long. And I know that everybody has these abilities, but we've been told, oh, don't do that, don't do that. This is, been proven or, like tried and tested. But if you've got that inner gut feeling, we need to really go with it.
Your gut and your heart. So your heart, it. So we have what's. I mean, in the woo-woo world, they call it an aura, right? But I'm an ex-corporate banker, right? So that's not me. I'm really grounded, really logical. That's not my jam. So I have to go into the science space. So our heart emits energy. It comes out of our body about 3 meters. That's what is the aura, right? All this energy that comes out of our body. We're electrons, where it's all coming out of us, it's vibrating. as they our electrons vibrate, it bounces off other people and their electrons. You decide if you like someone or not based on if you're at the same resonance. That's what happens. So our heart is, sending this energy out. It's our bioelectromagnetic field that comes out. It's picking up information. It's coming back in through the neurons within our heart. It's all being processed, goes up our vagus nerve into our brain. All kinds of stuff gets translated. Your gut's the same deal. More is going up than is coming down. We think this is doing all the transmuting of information. It's not. More is going up. About 16 times more in the heart is what's going up. So
I love
gut,
all that. I love it.
gut instinct, it's actually biology.
I love it. And I think so many more people are starting to follow that, especially in business too, like following their gut, like going, well, I don't know why, but I just, like for me, I don't know why I do certain things, but I just do it. And trusting that process, a word that I really used to struggle with was surrender. And surrendering, just to those sort of natural instincts that come up.
Yeah. And it is our natural instinct. Like we have natural instincts just like animals, but we don't take as much notice to it. It shows up when we're a baby. When we're a newborn baby, our first language is energy because we can't communicate, but we indicate through crying if we like someone or not, if they come near us or pick us up. So we can feel that as a baby if someone is the same residence or not, if we like them. So it's normally if they're kind of the same gem, vibrating the same way. And then life happens and we get told that we have to listen to our head and be really logical. And that then quietens our instincts or we don't notice them because we let this run everything. Realistically, the people that I know that are really the top of their game with business, they're running on instincts. They may not always say that. That's what they're doing. You look at those that are performing at an exceptionally high level, they're trusting their gut. And if you ask them to document the things that the mistakes that, or their regrets or their remorse, whether things they wish they'd done a different decision or taken a different action, it's probably when they try to be really logical and work it out.
And it allows them to make quick decisions as well. So opposed to overthinking, which I mean, I am so guilty of. You sit there and you do the pros and cons and all that sort of stuff. But the quicker the decision, because you're trusting your gut instinct, whether it works or it doesn't, I mean, there's always going to be a lesson in that as well.
Yes, when we're working in an energetic space, that gut is it's that fast. As soon as you pause, I say this to students, as soon as you pause, you know you are thinking. So it is that quick that it just lands. It's like a lock in, and you will notice it in your gut. It's like, that's a yes. And if it's not a clunk, that's a yes, then everything else should be a no. Like if
And
you're
how is it?
unsure, yeah.
Like I mean, over time, like obviously, like you're saying, like we've sort of suppressed a lot of all of that. But then how easy is it for us to sort of start to unlock all of that natural abilities again?
Depends on, I'm going to say, how logical you are. So, someone like me that's really logical, it's a little bit harder, takes a little bit longer compared to other personality types. Everyone can do it. There is not anyone that can't. And the reason being is because we're all made up of atoms. So, everyone has the ability to be able to do this. It's trusting yourself. That's where it comes down to. Do I trust what I am getting? Yes or no? And if we don't, then we're going to go up into our head. And the way we build up our trust is through what I call evidence, where we sort of collect some data. Remember, that's who I am. So we're collecting some evidence that shows us these are all the times that I was right. And I don't know why I was right. I can't work out why I knew what I knew, but I just did. So that is starting to show me that I should trust myself. Yeah.
I love all of that because I think that, so many of us, we've been, you go to school, like you need to learn. And it's not taught to trust your natural instinct in school. but showing facts and figures and going, hey, it's been documented with that. So, you know, most of us don't go back, and we see sometimes I don't like using the word failures because I always use it as lessons now. So, you know, those lessons that we have, and whether or not we can actually go back in and actually go, did we trust our gut, or was it partly because we overthought? You know, all of those sort of things, like to document, like you said, along the process, to actually then come back and just go, okay, well, here we are, we're supported, we're being told, you know, this is right. Like we have everything we need within inside ourselves.
100% we do. And sometimes I hear, oh, I trusted my gut, but it didn't work out. And this is the interesting thing. People just think it's just that one spot. And they forget that we're each little moment or each little decision is almost like a cobblestone in a path. So that particular decision, you might think on a cognitive level that it didn't work out. It didn't. You trusted your gut, but you expected a different result. But in that result being different to what you anticipated, there would have been learning. That learning allowed you to pivot, do something different when to get you to the next cobblestone, the next significant thing. And in that, it either worked or it didn't. And so through this, there is growth. So it is the journey, right? Because the journey is where the growth sits. So we have to be aware that even though like we trusted our gut and you expected a different result, so it's not wrong. You expected a different result. Why did you expect a different result? There's a whole kind of thing that you can unpack then, because that's probably a cognitive process based on why you expected a different result. So that's a whole, another tangent. So as we go through it, they go, well, I'm not going to trust my gut because it was wrong. No. Because it's about the journey, it's about the learning through every moment that you have these opportunities to grow. And so you would have missed that learning that you're going to apply further down the track. So whether it be in business or in our personal life, it's really about integrating all the experiences and where we learned, what we, did well and what we could have done a little bit differently.
That was one of the hardest lessons, like for me to sort of go, well, why did I have to go through all of this? Like the poor me, the why me, I call it my pity party moments, you know, with it. But when people can fully understand that, like maybe not right in the thick of everything, but afterwards they're all learning lessons with it. Do you see that's where people have the biggest breakthroughs?
100%. When I reflect on mine, I had one about 3 years ago, and it was the darkest moment I've ever, I mean, I've had many, many of them, but it was the darkest moment that I've ever had because it lasted also 4 years. But there was one patch that was, quite intense. And because of who I am and that I had done some growth, I understood that if I could be in the moment and unpick it and try and integrate it while I was in it, it would make it shorter. Rather than with the hindsight and then to reflect. So that would be my advice is if you can, while you're in it, trying to unpack the lessons, it's like, what do I need to learn while I'm in this hard, dark space? Right? It'll get you through it faster because as soon as you learn, you'll shift. That is where the growth is because we don't reflect on the really happy, joyful moments. We don't reflect on the really good things and go, okay, that was great. How do I do that again? We don't do that. We just enjoy it. And so they've put, it's almost like the universe has conspired. It's like, let's put all the learning in this bit because they're actually going to take notice.
And like I also believe that, you know, with all of the learning lessons that we have in life, it helps us to build the resiliency, because then we sort of go, okay, we've got through this part. Now I know I can keep going, like, you know, and to keep showing up. And I know that the book that we're just in was, you know, A Resilient Life. But how important is those learning lessons for people to build resiliency for them to keep showing up?
It is one of the few moments that you're going to get, really, because we don't, it's not sitting in the joyful moments. It's sitting in the moments where we don't think that we can do something. Our ego is telling us we can't do it, it's too hard, it's not within my scope. That's all happening. And we have to prove to ourselves, because that's quite loud, our ego, that by pushing through that, that what we are capable of. And I think people sometimes forget how much the human spirit can endure. And there is, as I said, very few other moments in life, except for the dark, we call them sometimes the shadow moments, where resilience is tested to show the strength of our spirit as, you know, as beings, as humans, like how strong we are and what we're capable of. And it's really interesting. I, through my dark moments, I made a decision that anything that I was terrified of and I was scared of, I was going to do, no matter what it was, because I knew if I did that, based on what I'd learned through the resilience process of the things that I had got through that I didn't think I was going to get through, that if I did that, all the power went away from the power. You'll become, fear has a lot of power over us. It stops us from doing things. So if I face my fears, it becomes powerless. And the more I do it, the more I know that I'm capable of. So I don't necessarily always need to now reflect on the I'm resilient, because I keep proving to myself I'm terrified of this. So yes, I'm going to jump towards it and jump through it. So, but that wasn't always the case. I didn't think that I could get through things, and I had to just be determined and push, because I didn't like the other option. And so it was a choice.
I love that. I've been learning like different, like how to say different, phrases. And one of the phrases, instead of saying you want something, you're choosing something. And I think that's a lot of what it comes down to, is that you're choosing something different. And of course, anything different, it's going to make us so uncomfortable that all we want to do literally is just put our pajamas on and hop back into bed.
Yeah. But growth really comes after we've faced that difficult thing, or almost at the brink. Like it's like we're right at the edge of that really uncomfortable moment, and just it's almost like you're pushing through, you know, that, and then there's the most amazing growth. The it's phenomenal. But it's really interesting, because it's like uncomfortable, 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 and oh, there's that spot. And once I push through that, I know everything shifts. It's more like bursting through like one of those big paper things, like, oh, here you go.
Yeah, definitely. And do you feel like I believe that everybody is born with resilience in it. However, it's something still like an art that we can continue to learn by the lessons, how we've actually dealt with something, how even the people that we're surrounded by as well, to help us sort of like, I guess, sort of embody that resiliency more within ourselves.
Yeah, with you look at children, children are fearless until we impose our fears on them. So they will do all kinds of things, jump off things, and with no regard for their body, until their parents or their caregivers tell them not to. So we impose, as parents or caregivers, our fears on our children. That's what happens. Then they either really embed those fears and make them their own as they go through life, depending on how much that's reinforced and the relationship. And then through working through that, then the resilience can show up, right? Based on then, because otherwise you don't really need it as a small child, because you're fearless. It's almost a sequence of what happens. I always say, parents, we choose our parents. We choose them because they're going to teach us a lot of things. And some of it's kind of messed up, but it seems to be what happens is we come kind of pretty as a clean slate, and we choose our parents almost to muck us up, right? To give us fears, to cause all kinds of things in us. So as adults, we can grow, learn, heal, and fully actualize, and almost go back to the fearless of what we were if we do it all properly through our life. But it's almost like a circle. And so when we think about our parents, and you know, some of us haven't always had great parents, that they actually gave us, it could be trauma, it could be pain, could be suffering, but that is a blessing in a way, because our job is then to learn and heal it and grow so we can evolve as humans and show up better and then pass that on for the rest of our life to others at a higher frequency, how to live better, how to, and we teach through that. That's part of the purpose of what we go through when we're younger. And in that journey is where resilience sits.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find like now, like I'm starting to see, people are learning these lessons a lot younger. Like, I mean, I was in my 40s, like to learn everything, like had to hit complete rock bottom. Whereas, and then to find that you can do things that you love. And not follow society. But I'm finding that a lot of people are coming into that a lot younger now and starting to realize that they don't need to conform. And that's
Yeah.
whether it's society, parents, all those different things.
100%. It's going to be interesting for the older generations, right? Because yes, the ones that have kind of in their 30s and 20s and even a bit younger as they come through, they are coming through in a way that the mold doesn't suit them. It's actually in a spiritual space, they're remembering more of who they are for longer. And they're not allowing this pivotal ages as we grow that we get quite impacted, 7, 15, 11, this kind of stuff. So they're not allowing those pivotal moments really to lock in and they're pushing back so they can stay true to who they are. And that is happening on a greater level. And it's important because that's how we change our world, that those younger generations stay true to who they are for longer or forever, because they'll create a ripple effect that will change everything.
And you're finding that they're starting to really wanting to unlock or get more of their sort of psychic or their, more spiritual gifts within themselves to be able to help humankind as well.
Yeah, I work with a lot of parents and kids in that space so they can work through the challenges of being psychic because we all are. Life just kind of dims it a bit. So there is more children that are staying connected to being able to translate energy through their all their adolescence and then adulthood or even just longer. And I truly think that it is because it's about creating change in our world.
And
It's
what are
about
some of
raising the frequency of us as of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm feeling like now, like it's not so hush hush. It's not like these secret colonies that it used to be, that's where you go and talk about it. Like we talk, I talk very openly about, the spirituality in business, and how people are starting to be more connected with it. But these are more conversations that are just happening naturally now, which is really refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm biased based on the world that I'm in. But the reason why I'm biased is not because of what I, that I teach this. I'm biased because I know that when we connect to our spiritual essence, we will ultimately, and as I said, we work through our healing. That's part of it. And we find ourselves, right? So we unpack all the things that parents and society's put on us. The change that that creates in an individual is profound. It's unlike anything else. Worries disappear, stress disappears, priorities change. You understand what's important, that a lot of things that are imposed on us from society are not that important. And it gives you a new perspective. And what it, in all those kind of little sprinkly parts, what it actually does is it brings you peace inside. And as I said, based on who I was, that corporate person, I never had that peace. And so having this peace means that I can handle things. Yes, I've got the resilience that I built up as I've maneuvered through that growth, but it also means now that things that would trigger me don't trigger me. I don't get upset. I don't have the highs and lows of emotions. I get to be more neutral, which physical health is better then because I don't have hormones spiking and all these kind of things that happen through stress. That's what I want everyone to have. That's why I love being connected into that spiritual space and understanding is because the mental health that improves, the physical health that ultimately improves, because you stay balanced and you have a peace within.
And it really is a Like somebody, I am an emotional person, and I've learned to that a lot of that is because I never used to be able to feel things, and now I get to feel it. And a lot of people, I misunderstand that just because I'm an emotional person, that I can't control my emotions, but I'm literally feeling it, and I feel like you need to feel it to heal things.
Yeah, you do. If you block it, if you block your emotions when it's associated with healing, but really anything, because the human experience is about feeling, right? So if you are blocking emotions because you're repressing them because you need to heal them, ultimately, if that continues, that will impact your physical body somewhere. Our body stores emotions. Emotions are energy. It comes through. We went through the start, through the heart, right, into our body. It will be stored within us. And that's why we shouldn't repress. We need to process them, feel them, work our way through, integrate the lessons, do all the work, right? It is work. So we can shift the energy for not only our mental well-being, but also our physical.
Yeah, absolutely. And it creates burnout if you don't, because I'm
Yeah.
living proof of it, of what it does to you with it. So absolutely, I totally agree with all of that. What's it like with people when they want to, they come and they're going, oh, I want to, either increase it, like, or tap into my psychic abilities, or whether or not they just want to be more connected within themselves. What's sort of some of the processes that you can help them with?
So the first thing we need to ascertain is, what's happening. How do they process the energy that's kind of whooshing around our world? I would say it's a bit like Wi-Fi. It's like out there, but we can't see it, whooshing around. So do they, like yourself, it presents as emotions, or sometimes people just get what feels like light bulbs. It's like, oh, we're just having an awareness of something. It just kind of plonks in there. We bright idea kind of stuff. We take credit for that as if it's us. It's not. Or do they kind of feel like they're talking to themselves? I kind of work out where they're at. So how is their body translating it? Then based on that baseline, we then have a whole lot of little exercises and skills to amplify that whilst building trust in what they're translating, so they know that what they're picking up, those instincts, how to trust that. And the more you trust it, it's like a snowball, it just becomes more and more. And they're really basic things. This is simple stuff. People think it's like, oh, it's all magical. No, it's not. It's really it's pretty straightforward things. Focus and being able to hold your focus on something is probably the key thing to do to start with. So if anyone wants to do anything, the first thing is I've got to really be able to focus.
Be present in the moment. I love the book The Power of Now, and like I struggled to read that book, and I'm thinking, oh, how ironic is that, that I'm struggling to read something which is talking about the power of now with it. But it just highlights the fact that we, like, our mind goes super crazy, and we're thinking, I don't know how many million billion thoughts a day, but just to sort of come back into just that one present moment, and just to allow whatever's happening to come through.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would say as another nice kind of starting point is for people to be really aware of their body. So to know how it feels. So any aches and pains, any twinges, any tight muscles, all those types of things. Anything, I always say to students, pretend that you've got like an MRI machine that's kind of scanning your body. Let's start at your toes. Because as energy comes in nice and close, whether you're walking past someone or you're just picking up something, your body is going to, it's going to hit your body. You're going to notice a shift. So if you have a baseline of how you normally feel and then you notice a shift, you'd be like, oh, what's that? How do I feel? Right. Is it a pain that maybe I picked up from someone else and it's not my actual pain? Or did my emotions just change? Why? So awareness of our body and concentration are the two key things that we work on at the start.
I love the fact that, you talk about emotions and obviously the body part of it, and I can really relate in the fact that, you know, when I get really stressed and everything like that, I can sort of feel myself like sort of suffocating as well. And, you know, that sort of learning all of those, but then obviously learning then how to sort of control yourself and to let go of the outside or let go of the people or the situation that you're in as well.
Pause and breath are great. So pause, breathe, stop. Always. It is an interesting thing because even when we talk about the body, when we're saying business and we're trying to even decide things, but so let's kind of go to that space, that if you're making a decision, your body will kind of tell you if it's right or not. If you need to say something and you notice that these muscles here all of a sudden feel different, it's like, oh, why? Do I feel uncomfortable saying this? What's happening for me? And then kind of diving into it. So focusing on great awareness around that space also is, I'm going to say, a great way to kind of maneuver through this and apply this in our everyday life. I just want to share that.
No, I think it's really important, you know, like to really tap in because, you know, so many times we're like, oh, my back hurts, or, you know, this hurts, or you've got a headache, or something like that. And it could just be you might have drunken too much the night before, you know, all those little things. But there can also be situations that are happening that's actually causing that, whereas it's not an actual effect in the body, but it's outside.
Yeah, and it is. I do a lot of what's called medical intuitive, and it's Chinese medicine uses it a little bit as well, where different organs are related to different emotions, different ways you show up. Your teeth are connected not only to the organs within your body, but they also go back into your subconscious. There's all these kind of connections around. I think it's fascinating on how our body shows us things. Like, you could have immense anxiety about working with a particular person, and that will always trigger in your left shoulder blade, or all of a sudden you've got pins and needles in one arm. So that's that.
I love all that sort of stuff. I could talk to you for hours about it because I get fascinated with it because I think that, you know, there's so much that we need still to learn about our body and how we can tap into it. I really would love to, for people to know how they can work with you and what you've got coming up as well. I know you're a very busy lady.
Yeah, I am. That's great. So they can connect with me at the psychicmediumshipcollege.com. So that's where we've got all kinds of classes. I also have my own website. So if anyone wants readings and things like that, that's bromandjanemedium.com. But in that what's coming up, we've got some courses to help people in regards to being able to translate energy. And we've got one coming up in March, the end of March, the 28th, and it's called Bespoke Psychic. And that allows someone to understand how to look at past lives and how they might be impacting this life. So what kind of things that we've got, repeat behaviors, repeat lessons, what's kind of showing up in that deeper soul space. Like, once again, what's kind of showing up that's blocking us, that we can't actualize what we're supposed to, because we've got some kind of hesitations that are in that deeper soul level. And looking at, even that course even covers how we can work in our forensic space, because we do this forensic mediumship, psychic detection. So it's like a smorgasbord of all different skills, even how to talk to your pets that no longer alive. So it's a smorgasbord. So it's Bespoke Psychic. That's the 28th of March that starts. But we've got other courses in there that are just honed in on how to help children. There's lots of things. I think we've got about 15 courses on that website, just something there for everyone.
Yeah, and we're going to drop all the details below how people can reach out to you. But I love what you're doing. I love the space. I am so internally grateful that you shared your gifts with us in the book as well. So we'll put the details below and just, you know, showing people of what is absolutely possible when you really tap into your true self and really allow that to shine through.
Yeah, I encourage everyone to do what they love, no matter what it is, no matter what people think you should do. You've got one really, like, this is not, even though, you know, we talk about past lives, don't waste a day. Nothing is guaranteed. Don't waste a day. Enjoy every day. And those that are important to you, tell them that they are important. So you don't need someone like me to relay the message when they're no longer here or you're no longer here.
Just got goosebumps. Yeah, no, it's so true. It's so true. And I think, you know, as we all lead such busy lives as well, it's really taking time out for yourself and, you know, just really following your heart.
Yeah, do what lights you up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, before you go, I've got five random questions that I would love to ask you. These are just purely random questions that I ask people just so that people can get to know you a little bit better. So first of all, do you prefer coffee or tea in the morning?
Poppy.
Oh, of course, you're my girl. Yeah. Like, do not talk to me before I've had a cup of coffee. Now, do you prefer to curl up in bed and watch a movie or read a book?
I'm going to try to think. Probably a movie if I get that choice. Don't get that choice very often, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And would you prefer the country or the beach?
Country.
And if you were going on a holiday, would you prefer to travel by boat or by plane?
Lane.
And if you can invite anyone from the past or the present to a dinner party, who would that be?
Gandhi.
Oh, that would be powerful. That would be amazing. I'd
He
love to
knows
be.
resilience.
Yeah, I would love to be at that dinner
He knows resilience.
table. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I am so grateful for you and, you know, sharing your gifts and just the work that you're doing with people as well, because I think this is a space that is really changing people's lives. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your gifts with us.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to, you know, talk about whatever I want to talk about. So thanks.
My absolute pleasure. For all of those who are watching this episode, thank you so much for being here. If you have liked it, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button and to remember to live life to the fullest every single day. Love and light to you all.